Coming up on TMS, The Yogurt Diaries.
Nothing trivial about last night.
Hold the mayo.
Meat vending machines.
Gross. Oh. I know. Well, they're coming, so be ready. How much for the Barbies?
Oh, hello, Bear.
Major spoilers.
Trek nerd, maybe, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Remember when every classroom had a turtle? Well, we still do. Turtles are symbols used in Logo, a computer language schools are using to teach programming. By moving this Atari turtle around the screen, Billy is discovering for himself the basics of math and logic. Programming with Atari Logo is not just fun. There's serious learning going on. Look at that Atari turtle go. You ought to go hide your head.
Mm. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Morning Stream, better than dog butt flung poo.
Hello everybody, good morning and welcome back to TMS. To answer the chat room's question, these ads I've been playing lately are old vintage Atari ads from Alan Alda. He did do
hey,
those.
Hey, watch me write a basic program here.
Yeah, check it 10, out. Using this turtle
say,
here.
Say, Frank Burns eats worms. 20, go to 10. Run.
It's not a bad Hawkeye. I'm going
to
put it
I need to
it
work on
there.
A little bit. It's.
I think it's pretty good.
Hey, Beach. Hey, Beach.
I knew who it is. I would know who it is just from tone. I think it's enough.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you're like the, who is the dude? And I can't name his name all of a sudden. Dana Carvey was like this. He didn't do great impressions. Oh. He just had the essence so down that you would just know
who
it was.
That's all you need to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's what you want. Hey,
by the
everybody.
Way,
yeah.
We've been corrected. It's episode 1550, not 1560.
Oh, how did I do this? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Just got super excited. Just got excited.
Yeah, let me fix that. 1550. How did I jump? What did I jump? 100 episodes? Yeah.
You jumped 10. You only jumped 10
episodes. Yeah. math.
Scott does math.
Continues to be difficult. Hey, we're back, everybody. It's me and Brian, and we're doing a show. It's August 27th, 2018. That I know. That I'm sure of. It's almost my, what do you call it? What do I have coming up here? My anniversary.
Yeah.
My anniversary is coming up. And so,
awesome.
Oh, that's important to mention, maybe, because it's actually a week from today, but next Monday I'm not here. So no show next Monday, but it's a whole week off, you guys. So
Monday is Labor Day, right?
Yeah, it's Labor Day anyway. Yeah. It's a day we may have or may not have done a show anyway.
Yeah, sometimes we like to brag about the fact, hey, we're here on Memorial Day, so
right.
So we're here for you.
But not this
we're
time.
We're here for you on Labor Day.
But that's all right. It's
I'm having a long anniversary weekend that weekend. So there you go.
So you got married right around Labor Day, obviously, because of the way our calendar works. What's that hiss all of a sudden? Do you hear that?
Are you hearing a hiss? I don't hear a hiss. Do you hear a hiss?
I was hearing hiss.
Well, let me see. Do I hear a hiss?
Yeah, I turned my microphone. Okay, it's gone now.
I don't
it
hear
weird.
A hiss.
It was some weird hissy hiss.
Yeah, a little bit of hiss.
But you got married right around Labor Day then. How many years is this, by the way?
Oh, my gosh. You really want to know? You want to know what an old raggedy fart I am now?
Yeah, tell me. Tell me, old raggedy fart.
26 years it'll be.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's what Tina and I celebrated on D-Day this last year.
Well, then we're both raggedy old farts.
We're both raggedy old farts. Mm. So fairly often, though, like one in seven years,
mm-hmm.
your anniversary falls on a Labor Day. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's cool that it, obviously, you didn't get married on a Labor Day. Probably was Saturday.
No, it was the weekend before so it would have been August 29th. Oh, crap. I shouldn't not know this. August 29th is our...
Well...
Wait. Is that
no,
right?
No.
How do I have
if
that right?
If Monday is your anniversary...
No. I'm not saying Monday is. I'm saying Monday's the day I'm gone.
Okay,
it's
gotcha.
For
all
the
right.
anniversary is all I'm saying. So it was... I want to say it was the 29th that we got married. Oh, crap.
Gotcha.
Hey, I should say, Kim, what was our anniversary? But she'd kill me. I think
yeah, then
it.
You'd be able to do it Monday because your
crap.
Weekend plans would all of a sudden be shot.
26 years is a long time. You forget stuff.
It is.
That's how that
totally
goes.
Is a long time. Yeah. No, ours is on D-Day, June 6th. I'll never forget. A day another day which will forever live in infamy, besides the first day that will forever live in infamy.
I can almost hear Eisenhower? Who said it? I can't remember who it was. Who was the president in charge at the time?
LBJ. No. It would have been way earlier than LBJ.
Who was it?
Truman?
No. Before Truman, right? It was the tail end of the...
Yeah.
Gosh dang it! Who was the president when the Japanese attacked?
Bomb Pearl Harbor.
FDR.
FDR, right.
Roosevelt. He's sitting there and says, today,
the date which shall live in infamy. Infamy.
Pretend it's not weird that I'm only sitting and I'm hiding my leg problem. That was his.
Oh, thing. Come on now.
He hid that thing. Know, he hid that thing for years. Oh, go ahead. What?
This is a public school education right here. We knew it was a president. Does that count for something?
I knew. I even knew what this was. It just wasn't coming to my head. Yeah. Look, perfect.
The reason he said it.
If you're coming to this show for perfect recall,
you're in the wrong place.
You're in the wrong building, dude. Freaking get back in your car and keep going north. Because it isn't here.
Go listen to Tom Merritt if you're looking for accuracy.
Yeah, if you're looking for that, go there. And he's just a click away. Hey, anyway, so I got a funny story to tell you. This is embarrassing.
All right. Okay.
And I also embarrass myself further. So,
well, you should be embarrassed by your spelling. You know how you like to point out when somebody sends an email in and they say, oh, look, and he even spelled...
Yeah, here's what I wrote. I probably shul have known Benter. But what I meant was I probably should have known better. I typed that too fast.
I was thinking about this, yeah.
All right, so last night we had a bunch of people over. Kim threw dinner for her side of the family, so it was like 30 people or something, and she made tacos.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome. She made this huge vat of like pork carnitas taco meat. It was so good, dude.
Yeah.
And cooked that for like 10 hours or something. And then
we had tacos last night too.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah, we were. Yeah. Who knew?
Taco
who knew?
Brothers.
The Taco Brothers. I would eat there. I would eat at a place called the Taco Brothers. So, anyways, they all came over and it was fine and everything. But before they did, I was a little peckish while we were kind of getting things ready, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do something just nice and small. I'm going to go just make a little tiny cup of yogurt, and I'm going to put a little granola in there. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little healthy little snacky deal, you know. And I'm thinking that'll tide me over until we're all jamming tacos down our heads, right?
Sure.
So I did that. And I went into the kitchen. I grabbed, you know, the yogurt that you and I like from Costco? What's it called?
Yes.
It's tinted with some kind of a little bit of honey or something.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
Whatever it is. It's really good. Yeah, the stuff they have at Costco really and the tubs that are about this big is freaking fantastic. Yep. So it's not Kirkland. It's some other brand.
Anyway, it's the one thing there that isn't Kirkland.
Yeah, it's definitely not Kirkland.
Try our jeans and yogurt.
Would you like some toilet paper? How about some chili? How about buy them together? Anyway, so we go in there and we get the yogurt, the Costco yogurt. Or I get it in the fridge. And there's only about a quarter of it left. And as you know, Brian, if you crack one of those open, even when it's brand new, there's a kind of a liquidy kind of...
A puddle.
Yeah. And you need to stir it up. And it's fine.
You
it's
totally
good,
do.
Legit
yes, exactly.
yogurt. But you're supposed to stir that stuff up. Well, I'm thinking, I crack it open. I go, oh, well, that's not very much. And I don't really want to stir it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put the lid back on. And I'm going to shake that yogurt really hard.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Yeah.
And I'm just going to, that's how I'm going to mix it. And I'm all by myself at this point in the room. Kim's somewhere else. People are in the other places. And I'm, so I take this yogurt and I make sure the lid's on tight. I'm not a total idiot. But anyway, I take this thing and I go, and I just vigorously shake it. And the top goes burp, it opens up
right
a little
off.
Bit.
Yeah.
And I end up just going right into my face. Like, big glob up here in my hair, big glob on the side of my face. Now, you might say, Scott, boy, well done. Good job, idiot, whatever. And I wiped myself down. I laughed out loud in a room full of no people but me. I thought it was funny.
Good.
I took a quick picture of it saying, this will be great. Kim will laugh her head off. So I take this picture of it, and I clean up, and I put it all away, and I salvage whatever's left, and I eat that yogurt. Then I think, hey, I should put this up on Twitter. People get a laugh out of it. I should tell him how dumb I am and what I did.
Yeah, sure.
I'm the kind of guy that likes to just sort of live in his his dumbness, you know, own it. I like to own it.
Absolutely. That's, if nothing else, that's what we do here.
Yeah, that's what we do. In fact, I'm kind of opposed to the opposite, which is hide everything. I'd rather just show you guys who
this
I am.
This is my excellent life. Let me take some pictures of my excellent life.
Right, and every pose is perfectly angled with just the right lip movement and all that BS. F that. You guys get to see the raw ass undercarriage here. So anyway, so I put this photo up on Twitter because I'm an idiot, and I say, and I'd say what I did. I vigorously shook a thing of yogurt with less than desirable results or something. And immediately, my Twitter replies fill up with the worst innuendos you've ever heard because...
Right. Probably sitting around like money shot and...
Yeah, you might think. Now, I didn't think of this at all when I was putting it up. Like, not even...
I'm spreadly searching your tweets to find this photo.
I have it someplace here. Should I put it up? Or am I going to get banned for it because someone's weird? I don't know where it is. I'll send you a copy on your text here in a minute and you can see it. But,
okay. All right.
But it was just
it's still on Twitter, right? I'm finding it.
No, I deleted it. I got
rid
of it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's
okay.
The fun part of the story is that it got so crazy and I was so like, you guys, what? Okay, that's gross. But anyway, moving on. Okay, what? Okay, I'm deleting this is finally what happened. I was like, I've had it. All right, Brian, I'm sending this right now. This is coming to you via text, okay? This could be used against me. In fact, somebody immediately photoshopped and put the word braziers at the bottom.
Brazzers.
Or brazzers, whatever. Is it braziers or brazzers?
Well, braziers would be the Dairy Queen food option.
All right. Chat room, you can see it on my phone if you have interest in such things.
Okay, here it is.
Oh, there's that cattle still. See? So.
Yeah. I think I'd do the same thing. I think I'd be like. The best part is like the little trail up by the top of your head.
Yeah. I want people to understand. In my head, I'm not thinking of this at all. I'm just thinking.
Oh.
I'm just thinking, hey, dumb Scott. Pop.
So innocent.
Yeah. And immediately people are like, okay, all right, whoa, hey. And then I realized what had happened, and I just thought, okay, well, this is going down. I'm deleting this as fast as I freaking can.
I wish we talked on the phone more, because this absolutely is going to be the photo that comes up when you call me.
Great. Let's make sure that gets out and gets spread wide and far and ends up with no context so that, you know, 20 years from now somebody finds it. With the Brazzers name on it and goes...
That's the best part. The best one is Brazzers.
What was Scott up to in the late 2018? Weird.
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
too funny.
So that's that. It was dumb. I should have known better. I should have just stopped and thought about it. That's one of the problems. Actually, this is a thing we should talk about sometime with Wendy, but maybe not. But this idea of... Like, we're the business we're in is just constantly, for lack of a better term, just throwing stuff at the wall... And hoping this sticks, and then if something sticks, helping it stay stuck, and you know, just kind of running around. And what ends up happening is your common every minute to minute sort of judgment sometimes gets impaired because you're just so busy with everything else. And I think this is one of those cases that impaired judgment.
What's funny is that the first thing usually, and this show is a testament to that, when something is on the verge of being taken in a poop way or a sexual way or whatever, right? You know, when there's something innocent that could be phrased with a "well, that's what she said," you know, kind of situation.
Right.
This show is found. The very foundation of this show is built on that. That the concrete that we are both standing on for the morning stream is built on the whole "that's what she said" kind of mentality, more towards poop jokes and bathroom humor probably than, you know, bukkake photos, but still it's
and keep this in mind, that term, that word he just used, I didn't even know what that meant till like a year ago.
I bet you were reminded of it yesterday though.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, you'd think I would have been earlier, but no, it took about 50 replies and I don't know, it's like I came out of a coma and went, why did I post this? And I shut it off. Anyway, so that was fun. Good times for me. A quick shout out. I did this earlier this week. Let's see. Earlier last week.
Right. Talked about this on Friday. It was a major topic during Call Now.
Yes. Fewerless. Larry Wolf wrote in, and he says this. Quickanddirtytips.com is where he's referring us to. It's like a dictionary thing about fewer. He says, on this link, you scroll down to the definition, and you will find fewer and less discussion. If you missed Thursday's show, I guess it was PM show, right, on Friday?
Yeah, it was PM. Yep.
You guys should listen to that if you haven't. We had a big discussion that came from a Twitter question.
Talking about the difference between less or fewer, when you use less and when you use fewer.
Yep. Which reminds me of the difference between may and can from Avalon in 1992. That's a great movie.
And well, that's been smart aleck parents have been using that for years. Yes, you can have a sandwich. The question is, may you have a sandwich?
Yeah, and the way that movie did it is the kid goes, can I go to the bathroom? She goes, you can, but you may not. And he would be like, I don't understand. And he peed himself eventually because it was Frodo. He's a little kid then. Anyway,
okay.
Says here, usage changes over time and varies by structure of the sentence. In 25 words or less, so should that be,
right.
When people say that, shouldn't they be saying in fewer than 25 words versus in 25 words or less? And I think so, right? Like, the more common thing is the or less, doesn't make it right.
And here's where language kind of evolves over time. It's a very good example of this. And I'm trying to remember, it was Amy Adams who had we were talking to on Friday about this. But yeah, that is a good example of like in 25 words or less sounds correct. It's a comfortable way to say it. Hey, tell me this in 25 words or less. The actual correct way to say it would be in 25 words or fewer.
Mm.
But
it sounds weird, right? Because we just don't say it that way.
It does sound weird. Yeah.
Even though it's the more correct way of saying it.
And just because language evolves over time, it doesn't make it right. That's why the word supposedly is in the dictionary, is because it was a lot easier just for Merriam and Webster to add that together. By the way, I tried his link. Here's the weird thing, right?
Yeah.
So he sent us two links, one for Quick and Dirty Tips,
yeah,
and the other one for Merriam-Webster.com/dictionary/fewer. It's Merriam with an M, but his link is Marianne. I'm wondering where the heck he went.
Oh, yeah, look at that, Marianne.
Oh. Marianne, don't look at it, Marianne.
Oh, yeah, I get a 404 with that error. With that
yeah,
thing.
Because there is no Merriam-Webster.
What?
How did he send us a Merriam-Webster link with...
I don't get it.
So he must have manually typed that.
Maybe. That thing's long, though. My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now there's some... Anyway. Yeah, we've added additional drama to the already confusing topic. But here's the thing. I've always been a big proponent of language is there for people to communicate. And so if you have less than the perfect diction, it's okay with me. As long as I know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that big a deal.
It's a situation where... It's not the end of the world if you use a different word than what is considered factually accurate or grammatically accurate.
Right.
I tend to, be like, well, I always want to be accurate. I always want to be correct. But I'm not going to say, oh, you said that wrong. It's supposed to be fewer, not less.
It's those people that really I have a problem with. It's not so much that,
if you're going to be like, I believe it was Diane who wrote in and said, when do I use fewer? When do I use less? You were saying here is the actual definition of when you use one versus the other.
Yeah.
Use whatever you want.
Yeah. But here's the definition. But at the end of the day, you talk how you want to talk. It's fine.
Right. Exactly. As long as you're not saying supposedly, because I can't get behind you if you use supposedly.
That's a bad one. What's the one that Justin used to get? We used to on Unfair Me. Justin would get in trouble all the time for using. Oh, I can't remember it now.
Hmm.
Someone in the chat will know this. He just got heat every time he used it. It was something like
somebody would rip him.
Yeah.
The one that I always hated, and it wasn't Justin, it was somebody I worked with, would use for all intensive purposes.
All those intensive purposes?
All those intensive purposes.
Like, those are very intensive purposes.
Yeah, exactly. Not intensive. It's not intensive care. It's intense and purposes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. You can totally end. I mean, it's you're not supposed to end phrases with a preposition, but can, and it's
there. It is. Chat room got it. It's especially
regardless.
No, especially.
Oh, especially.
Yeah, Justin says it all the time.
Oh yeah.
And they just
it's not especially and it's not espresso.
No.
There's no X in either of those words.
No. Espresso.
Yes.
So somebody,
I get
yeah.
mad when people pronounce those words incorrectly. Especially espresso.
Yeah, especially. That's fantastic. All right. You went to trivia last night.
I did. Well, yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was the Team Trivia Championship 2018. So here's what they did. They had a whole bunch of bars all across the country all at the same time host an 8-round trivia competition. And so everything was timed with all these other cities so that we made sure that nobody could like get through the questions in one city and then call and say, okay, here are the answers. You guys go ahead and just take this. So we were playing against several hundred, I think 350 teams around the
Oh my gosh,
country.
That's crazy. Are you all tied yeah. in together somehow? Like a video or something?
The hosts at the bar had an online communication going on with the other venues and saying, Got okay, it. Chicago's done. Let's move on to the next round.
That's
Detroit
awesome.
Reporting in, et cetera.
That's really cool, actually.
It was really cool. We took third place in our local bar, which we should have done better. I don't know how we did across the country, but man, we got hit by a couple of questions that shouldn't have been a problem for us, or not that shouldn't have been, but that we had maybe another 30 seconds, we would have been able to do it. Probably the biggest one that we are kicking ourselves for is a question that says, okay, so it's in history, only two brothers have both been nominated for acting awards. One brother born in 1970, the other brother born in 1974. Who are those brothers?
Oh, can I try this?
Yes, that's why I'm phrasing it like this, because I want you and I want the chat room. I want to see what you guys come up with.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what we said, and I'll tell you what the actual answer is.
1970.
1970 and 1974.
74. And they're both nominated, but not necessarily
wins. Both nominated.
Okay.
And we're not saying whether they won or not.
Okay.
It wasn't told to us in the question whether or not they
it's
won.
It's got to be Ben Affleck and Casey Affleck.
That is exactly what we put. We said Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck, thinking, all right, so Casey Affleck, Manchester by the Sea. Ben Affleck, we think, for Gigli or Jersey Girl. No, we thought for Good Will Hunting that he was nominated.
Oh, right. Well, he was these are acting nominations? That may be the problem.
Acting nominations.
Because he won Best Director for Argo.
Yeah, but he was still... Oh, yeah, he won Best Director for Argo.
Yeah.
But nothing... We were incorrect. There we go. TVZ Gun has got it. It is River and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, no way.
The line, River Phoenix for Running on Empty. And that one cost us 6 points and basically cost us the lead of the game.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah.
See, John says Coen Brothers, but no, we're talking acting here.
Acting nominations.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. And are they the only...
They're the only brothers that have ever been nominated.
Wow,
both
really?
Gotten nominations for acting. Yeah, there. You know, there's some for writing. There, you know, Ben got, as Dan Wally says, writing for Good Will Hunting. He got a Golden Globe for Hollywoodland, but he did not. He has not gotten an acting nomination.
So there's probably you could do father son, and I'll bet the Douglases are in that.
Yes, because Michael Douglas for Wall Street and Kirk Douglas for Spartacus, I'm pretty
Spartacus,
sure.
Spartacus, possibly other stuff. Yeah, he may have done
Yeah.
That. He's still alive, right? He's like
Kirk Douglas?
He's like 200 years old.
God, yeah. I know when they when he came out during the
he couldn't really talk, I know.
Oscars
but
a couple years ago. Yeah, yeah. He's still alive. He's 101.
101 freaking years old.
101, man. Jeez.
You gotta wheel him out more.
He was born just a couple of years after the Titanic sank.
Ah, geez, whatever longevity's going on there. Well done there, Grandpa. You're kicking
That's
A.
Right. Exactly.
All right, well, anyway. Bo Bridges and Jeff Bridges would have been true if Bo had ever been... Was he ever nominated?
Yeah, I think Bo Bridges would have been nominated. Or not Bo Bridges. Lloyd Bridges was nominated.
Oh, so another
Jeff
dad.
Jeff Bridges was nominated for Fabulous Baker Boys, I think.
Nations, Bo Bridges. Let's see, let me just check.
I don't
check.
Think Bo Bridges has ever been nominated for anything.
I think you're right. He's won a bunch of awards, but none of them were Oscar related.
Yeah. Oh, Bridges of Madison County.
Lots of Lots of Golden Globes.
Three-time Emmy, two-time Golden Globe, and one-time Grammy Award. Wow, he's actually got Emmys, Golden Globes, and Grammys, but no Oscar.
That's too bad. Overshadowed by his hippie brother.
That's right.
How that worked. All right, well.
Oh, no, Jeff Bridges won for that Crazy Heart.
A few years ago. Did he win?
The singing one.
Did he win for that, or was that for True Grit? I thought he won. No?
Oh, maybe.
Jeff Bridges.
No, he won the Academy Award for Best Actor for 2009 Crazy Heart. And earn nominations for six other films. So he earned a nomination for...
you're right. Crazy Heart. It's the one where he sang the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, the country one.
Okay.
Which was really good.
I remember the first nomination I ever remember him getting was for Starman in 1985. Do you remember that thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Starman.
Green means go. Red means stop. Yellow means go very fast.
That's that whole movie in a nutshell. That's the whole thing.
Fisher King,
Best Supporting Actor, Hell or High Water, True Grit, mm-hmm. The Contender, Last Picture Show, Thunderbolt and Lightning. Very, very frightening. Yeah. He's had some nominations. All right. Anyway, whatever. He was an Iron Man villain with bald head.
Anyway, yeah. And that was one that killed us.
Yeah. Well done, well, Brian. You tried. You did your best. You did your best.
We did. Yeah. We won $180.
So no.
$30 bucks for each of us.
It's not too bad.
We still got something. Walked away with money.
Yeah, that'll buy, let's see, you'll still have change to spare. You can go buy Dead Cells on your Switch and play that in bed.
I can, yes. Yep,
that's how I'd do it.
Is Dead Cells good?
Dead Cells is amazing. It's currently my game of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I love that game. But you got to understand, and I'll say this openly and freely, mm-hmm. Part of the problem is, not problem, but part of the reason I'm enjoying it so much is because I am a sucker for these roguelike type games. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely...
I like
absolutely...
that it's a Metroidvania, is now a term, Metroidvania style.
Oh yeah, people are, that's a thing. So if you're side-scrolling 2D thing where you're discovering a whole bunch of stuff, that's basically always going to be called a Metroidvania these days. But it's really good, and it's infinitely playable, and I love it. And it's right now, until Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out, it might be my game of the year. I like it better than God of War. I like it better than any AAA game to come out this year. It's freaking fantastic. And yes, Merc Moore, cool. You heard me. Go play Dead Cells. Game of the year right now. That's how strong I feel about it. And guess who else feels this way? Across the ocean, Patrick Beja feels the same way. Right now, game of the year for him, too. It's that good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see, a review that doesn't have, isn't just that animated trailer. I want to actually see the, here we go.
Oh, the gameplay? Yeah.
Yeah, because the video, the first videos that come up are all the, are not gameplay. They're just,
right.
Oh, yeah, totally up my alley.
It
I love
feels
this kind of
very,
stuff.
Very Metroid, very... But it's not the same though, because the levels are randomized and all that. It's mm-hmm. It's the control, it's the combat. It feels so good. It's so tight. Mm. Oh, it makes me wanna. I already have it on PC and have sunk I don't know how many hundred hours in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I still am tempted to get the Switch version just to have it.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Oh, it's gorgeous. All right, cool. I might pick that up actually.
It's super good.
Hey, speaking of video games, just really, really quick.
Uh-huh.
I'm at level 116, just shy of 117. Getting there.
Okay, I don't want to do. I don't want to say anything that will. I don't mean anything by this. Okay, so when I say what I'm going to say to you is only a reflection of me and my psychosis.
Right.
But I have my level 120. I hit that a while ago and is doing good and everything. He's doing heroics, getting ready for mythics, all that. Mm-hmm. I also have a level 116 hunter now.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, you've got, I don't want to say you've got more time to play video games because we have the same amount of time.
Yeah.
But you've had more time than I have in the last
couple for sure.
Weeks.
Yeah. You had a trip in there and all that other stuff. Yeah. It kind of jacked you up. But also, I've been staying up way too late. I was up till 1:30 last night. So this
I can't. Oh, my God. 1:30. See, I was like, we wrapped up. A trip through the Underrot.
It's a great
at about 11 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to bed.
Is that great? So, that's a great instance in there. So good.
It is good. Yeah.
Oh, I should have joined. Why wasn't? Oh, I know, because everybody was over. I didn't actually start until about 9. Well, that's when you guys start. Why didn't I come hang out with you guys?
Why didn't you pop in there?
I don't
you
know.
Schmuck, you could have joined us because we needed one more DPS. We had to pull in a we had to pug in a fifth for Underrot. You could have joined us.
Poop! I totally would have joined you. I can tank or DPS in there with my Demon Hunter. And I like that. I like that whole thing under there. You don't breathe the spores while you're in there, though. Feels like you want to kind of do this while you walk through that dungeon the whole time. Cover your
miasma triggers when you go through under rot.
Miasma. All right, we're going to. What are we going to do? Oh, you know what? Dunaway. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, get Dunaway.
Yeah, I forgot. We're going to pull him in.
And people like Motherlode is a pile of shit. Temple of Sethralis can die in a snaky fire. It's like nobody. There's a lot of dungeons that people hate. Apparently,
that's too bad because I think that is an awesome dungeon. I love it in there.
Yeah,
I think maybe I'm just sold on the look of it or something. I think that's what's doing it for me. Something's wrong with freaking all of my screens here. There we go. All right, what's this right here? We got going. Gentlemen, join us now for a fun little game we call Babel Royale, starring the one, the only, Brian Dunaway from South Carolina. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. It's nice to see you. What are you doing?
Just waiting, just listening to you two run your mouth going, are they ever going to call me? I don't even care about Dead Cells. But anyway.
We have a lot to catch up on. Yeah, Brian's heard me talk about Dead Cells a lot. That is to say Dunaway, and he's probably sick of it by now, but...
No. Save it for the show. Yeah, Boop Show.
We'll save it for the Boop Show later today. Hey, if you want to be a part of today's Babel Royale and win a handful of prizes, 801-471-0462 is the phone number. It's up on the screen. So if you're watching live, you can call in, and you could be a winner. Looks like we've already got a caller. Let's see who this is. Hold on a second. I'll mute the number. Okay, all right. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Sam from Chicago.
Hello, Sam from Chicago.
Hey, Sam.
How are you,
Sam,
man?
Sam that came out to Nerdtacular. We hung out at that place across from the hotel, right?
Yep, that's me.
Yep.
Yes.
Aren't you?
I'm so offended by Scott yelling at me.
Yeah, no, he's the same Sam that came. You came to the Warcraft movie thing, too, didn't you?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's when it was. It wasn't Nerdtacular, it was the Warcraft movie. Yes, Sam is the one who looks younger than he is, and that helps him and hurts him in different ways.
And he's super smart. He's really smart and makes me feel like a dummy when he's around. But I don't mean that in a bad way. I like having you around, Sam. We're gonna play a game with you. You probably know how this works, but we're going to let Brian Ibbett explain it anyway. Brian, what are we doing?
That's right, Sam. I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player, naturally. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a prize package, which includes a Sailor Moon bottle opener, which sends kind of a mixed message. I don't know.
I don't know what that's about.
What's your opening for,
for your underage Sailor Moon?
For your underage Sailor Moon. Listen, you can be any age and enjoy Sailor Moon.
That's right.
And then this awesome book, which is called Figure Fantasy. If you have not seen this, this thing is super rad. It is an artist, Daniel Picard, who takes photos,
engage,
really, really high quality photos of action figures, and then photoshops them into real backgrounds. Like, here's a couple battle droids, Star Wars battle droids working at a Costco.
Oh, that's where they should be.
That's cool.
That's where they should be, those guys.
Roger. More Kirkland crap.
Yeah, we're all out of giant barrels of cheese. Go get more. Roger.
This book is awesome and could be yours if you win your prediction, if your prediction is correct for today's Battle Royale.
A fine physical prize day here on the Battle Royale.
That's right. Yep. Every once in a while, you got to do a physical prize day. Yep. Here is the topic. Jamie, Mashups, TMS Mashups Jamie, put this one together. It is a brilliant topic. He compiled a list of what was voted as the number one toy for the last 53 years. So every year they come up with their list of the best toys, and there's always a winner of the toy of the year. This is a list of the last 53 years of the best toys. And I will give you a little bit of a hint that sometimes they're toys, sometimes they're games.
So games count, sometimes, like a board
games
game
count.
Or something.
Board game,
now,
video
who
games.
Is the, but who's the judgment of this? Is it based on sales or is it based on some list?
I will tell you. That's a really good question. It is the most popular kids' toys for that year.
Okay.
So it is the Toy Association's Toy of the Year.
Oh, Toy Association. There you go. That's what I was trying to get to. Who deemed it?
Yeah, so the Toy Association. You okay. wanted to know
the
who
Toy
our authority was.
Toyassociation.org.
Yeah, they're our authority on this.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm very excited about this one. I think this one's going to be very, very interesting.
It should be a lot of fun. All right, Sam, who do you think, knowing this topic, who do you think is going to come out on top, and who would you like to go first?
Well, Scott's over here jumping around on stream, so I'm thinking he's really ready for it, and I'm going to go
with
Scott on this
one. I'm jumping too.
No, he's not. He's not jumping. All right, I'm listening.
Susan, Scott, all right.
I appreciate your confidence. I think we can do this.
And who would you like to go first?
I'm going to have Brian go first.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, can I ask a quick clarification from the judge?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if we just say a toy, that's the answer, mm-hmm. right? Or we have to associate it with a year or something.
No. You definitely don't have to get the year.
God.
I'll tell you the year, but yeah, no, you don't have to tell me the year, just the toy.
Okay. If you wanted this game to be really short, do the year.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. I'm ready. Brian, you go. He asked for you to go first.
All right, so I'm going to go with Hot Wheels, Paving the Way.
Very good. 1968 Hot Wheels were the toy of the year.
Okay.
Well done.
Barbie's got to be there.
Duh.
Barbie.
Oh, my gosh. You have to say Barbie's there.
I mean, Barbie's not the most popular. It's just, no, come on. Why are we even like, stalling
it has,
here?
It has to be. Brian, it has to be. What are you pausing for?
I am scanning. I am
what?
Looking. I do not
are you
see Barbie on
me?
This list.
No, it can't
no.
be.
It can't be on the list.
It
but
can't
no,
be.
For no year. No it, year was Barbie what? The number one toy of the year.
Wait, what? No.
There's no way. No way. No way. That list is wrong.
I might give you.
That list is wrong.
There was one that was specifically modeled after a celebrity. A Barbie doll that was modeled after a celebrity. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you just because I don't want this round to end that quickly.
God.
In 1976, Barbie made a Cher doll. Teen actually has one of these. It was the number one doll of the year. So I am going to give you Barbie because, number one, she should be on the list. But number two, because the Cher doll was a Barbie doll.
It's also, I think, by some counts, the most popular toy of all time.
It is. And so,
collectively, but it never had a banner year. Is that what we're hearing here?
It was never a toy of the year. So I'm going to.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah, all right.
It's crazy. I
That makes my legs shaky because
yeah, I know, like, me too, dude.
I'm like, too. Holy Moses.
All of my everything I knew may have been a lie because I got all kinds of ideas and now I'm not sure of any of them.
Right, yes.
All right.
I'm gonna go with the huge boom that was the He-Man.
He-Man indeed. 1981 He-Man toys were toy of the year.
Just because I've been watching all those documentaries and stuff. It's
the
just
toys
in my
that
head.
Made us?
Yeah.
All right, well, now I'm nervous.
Gutter as a Tool brings up a good point. Barbie did come out before this list started.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Oh. When so the list start, that would actually help. When's the list start?
53 is a good, so 1965.
Okay, all right. That actually does help me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Rubik's Cube, please.
Ooh,
Rubik's Cube is 1980's toy of 1980 toy of the year.
Cubes
good.
Of the Rubik.
Okay. Right.
You can't talk about toys and not if you grew up during the 80s and not mention the Cabbage Patch dolls because those things ruined that whole year.
Yeah, it had to be toy of the year.
1983 was the year of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, I would have put that later. That's interesting. Okay. Oh boy. I don't know how old this is.
His confidence has been shaken.
I know.
Really
I know.
I came into this all guns blazing, dude. Now I'm questioning everything. I mean, I have one right over here, but it may be older than this list. Oh my gosh, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go for an easier one because it was also very controversial that year, similar to Cabbage Patch, probably Tickle Me Elmo.
There you go.
Tickle
yes.
Me Elmo, 1996. Very good.
Gosh, that was going to be my
this
next
is
one.
The most nerve-wracking thing we've done.
I know. This is
because you don't want to get it wrong. You don't want another cup with your face and the bad answer on it, like I got at the house with Pretty in Pink.
Jeez.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So right. You don't want that.
Funny. All right. What do you got?
All right. So I'm going to go with Furby. He was right around that time, and he just destroyed everything.
1998, Furby. Yep.
Furby, 98. Wow.
98.
Okay. Yep. Well, I would have had that date way earlier than 98. Okay. My brain is going to all this old stuff that I know that's pre-list.
Come on, Scott. Do it. Say something stupid.
I feel like it's going to be stupid. All right. Don't want to do. Oh, okay. So this is a broad category. I'm going to say the NES.
The NES, absolutely. So glad you went there. Yes,
I didn't consider that a toy.
1988's Toy of the Year. Okay. So yeah, don't forget, video games are on here too.
Okay.
So
all right.
That makes me okay. That makes me think a little harder.
Right. Let's think.
I can see that. Okay. So my childhood favorite toy, when I wasn't playing with my Ram Man, was Transformers. That had to be a toy of the year.
You mean those robots in disguise?
Yeah.
That's the ones.
Yeah. 1984's toy of the year were Transformers.
I almost said Transformers. I was worried it wouldn't have made it, but all right. Mm-hmm. Well, that probably rules GoBots out, so I'm not going to say GoBots.
Trek Nerds in the chat room saying, no, he lost. What? Oh, everybody gets a trophy?
Oh, nice.
Whatever.
Nice.
I didn't lose. It's the most popular toy of all time, Daryl. I guarantee it. If the list was there, it'd be on it.
But not in the last 50 years. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm going to get technical about it. All right. I'm going to go with something my sisters were all into. I hope this isn't too of an early thing. I just know they were really into it in the 80s. But the Easy Bake Oven.
Oh.
That's shit!
Easy Bake Oven is not on the list.
Hold on.
I want to look up something because there's something on the list that's similar.
But there was a toaster oven back in 1956.
Oh, I swore again, too. Sorry, chat. Here. There.
Oh, man.
I was going to see if Susie Homemaker would apply.
Oh.
Because Susie Homemaker was a... It was like toy blenders and toy washing machines. One of Susie Homemaker's competitors was the Easy Bake Oven line of products. I can't give you two. Yeah. I can't bend the rules twice.
Yeah. That's fair.
I got a few more in my head. Can I?
All right. Yeah. Try them out.
Well, I mean, we didn't even talk about Star Wars. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? The Star Wars toys blew it away.
1977 Star Wars action figures. Correct.
Right. Okay. Yep. How about can you tell me if Light Bright was in there?
Yes.
Light Love Bright, 1967.
Damn it, that was my next one.
Was there really a year? I thought about that, but I thought no way was there a year where everybody was like, that's the go-to toy.
Well,
it
must have been the year it came out. I'm wondering if if all of these are the year that they were introduced. Let's see.
Must have been.
Yeah, Light Bright came out in 1967, so...
Yeah.
You want me to run down the rest of the list or do you have any more?
I just
want
to know what's last year's? Like 2017's Toy of the Year. Who won that?
I think it was Hatchimals. Let me see here. 2017.
Oh, yeah.
It was something called LOL Surprise.
Oh. Hatchimals? Then that means
Hatchimals was 2016.
The Tamagotchi things weren't where those were?
Tamagotchi 1997.
Yeah.
What's a fingerling? What is that?
Oh, yeah. That was big last year.
That's the current one of the year, yeah.
I don't like the sound of that. Fingerlings.
We picked some of those up last Christmas, I believe. Yeah, they were very popular last Christmas.
All right.
Atari 2600, if Nintendo is going to be on there.
Damn it. I should have stayed in that range. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you all the rest of these here.
Give me. Shoot them.
BB-8 for 2015. Beanie Babies. Really? That seemed like a gimme. I was surprised neither of you came up with Beanie Babies.
Right.
The Beyblade. Bratz Dolls. Dungeons and Dragons, 1974 Toy of the Year.
Yeah. What?
Frozen Dolls 2014. Hopefully they mean the movie and not just putting dolls in the freezer. G.I. Joe was actually the first one on the list, like 1965.
I backed out because after Barbie wasn't there, I was a little scared.
Yeah.
The Game Boy, 1989. Hatchimals, 2016. Mm. Here's a couple controversial ones. The iPad for 2010 and the iPod Touch for 2007.
What?
I don't consider those toys, but they were called Toy of the Year. Jenga, Koosh Ball, LeapPad Explorer.
Okay. I remember those too. That was my kids' generation.
Yeah, my kids.
Yep, 2011. Those. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, My Little Pony, Nerf for 1970. The Nintendo DS for 2004. The Wii for 2006.
Strawberry Pet Shortcake Rock. In there by chance? Strawberry Shortcake and all that?
No Strawberry Shortcake.
Okay, that was on my. I was going to blow it on that one then eventually.
Pet Rock actually was Toy of the Year 1975.
Were the Care Bears never on there? Because the Care Bears.
No Care Bears.
Huge.
No. Yeah. Pokemon cards, 99. The Razor Scooter, 2000. The Robo Sapien for 2003. Oh, Simon, 1978. Really skateboards, just generally skateboards, 1973. What? Snoopy Ballroom. Astronaut.
Yeah.
Snoopy Astronaut, 1969. The SNES for 1992. Super Soaker, Susie Homemaker, The Talk Boy, Tamagotchi, Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, yes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for 1990. Techno, the robotic puppy. Uno, Wally, Weebles. The Wii U, the Xbox 360, and something called Zuzu Pets.
Zuzu Pets.
Yeah, we had a whole bunch of those.
Don't know what that is.
A couple years ago.
No idea. That's fantastic. Did you say Slinky in any of that?
No Slinky. I think also earlier than...
it's another one I would have blown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slinky. Oh, and Etch-A-Sketch I had in my back of my head, but probably also predates it, right? No, Etch-A-Sketch?
Yeah, Etch-A-Sketch I think predates it too. It's crazy. Like the year definitely comes into play. I think Slinky and Etch-A-Sketch were probably both before 1965.
Oh, man.
Which blows my mind.
All I know is...
We had that Etch-A-Sketch is back in, like, what, the 40s? What?
It's something like that. Does that sound right?
Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. When did it come out?
It was something
it was
like
made
that.
It was made from war bonds.
It was either late 40s, early 50s, something like that. It was made from war bonds. All those extra war bonds we didn't need.
That's right. Let's see. Etch-A-Sketch was introduced in, where is it here? Here we go. The late 1950s by André Cassagne.
Mm. Look what I can do.
Should put lawn darts on there again.
Oh, no.
Make lawn darts great again. Yeah. Well, all right, Sam, I apologize. If you email me, though, I might have a little something for you. I'm just saying, a little secret something.
Okay.
You can't do that.
I'll talk to you later.
That's cheating.
No, well, okay, it's just a little piece of art or something. I feel bad. I feel bad. He put his trust in me, and I blew it. I totally blew his trust.
So what Scott's saying is, if you pick him, you'll still get an award.
Well, it's like Daryl says, everyone
Daryl's
gets a trophy.
Right.
Yeah, Daryl's right. For once, Daryl's right. By the way, I wanted to share a text I got from Daryl just now. Would you guys like to hear it?
Yeah, absolutely.
He says, there's no Trek news, but we have cookies. I'm in the new office today. He says, there's no privacy anymore, but call anyway, I guess. Well, I'd like to do that last part in Eeyore voice, okay?
No bother.
There's no privacy anymore, but call anyway, I guess.
But at least we have cookies.
It's the I guess part at the end that I love.
Oh, poo. We have cookies.
All right, we'll get around to that soon. Brian Dunaway, of course, of The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. He's also on The Boop Show with me later today, 3:30 Mountain Time. Come check it out. We talk about video games for the week, and I rub it into him further that Dead Cells is better than anything he's played this year. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you later. We have no time for news.
No time for news, Dr. Jones.
Which is okay, because we'll save all this for tomorrow. It'll just sound weird in the intro when people hear it. I'll be like, wait, what?
Right.
You
get a tease. You have a whole 24 hours to try and figure out what those what those teases were about.
Indeed. We're going to talk to Steven and Daryl when we come back. And we'll do that in a minute. But we can't because the law states we have to play a song. And Brian brought all that stuff. So what do you got?
Yes, we are going to Eesky in Ireland for this one. Indie folk band with a female vocalist. I love this. They only gave me one song. But I'm glad I love that song because it's what I'm going to be playing. The new single is called Send Me a Boat. The band is called Lazy Revs. That's L-A-Z-Y-R-E-V-S. Go check them out online. They are They're fantastic, and I'm expecting to see a lot more from these folks. You can find them online at lazyrevs.com if you want to find out more about them. L-A-Z-Y-R-E-V-S. Here's the song, Send Me a Boat.
All right, we'll see you guys in a sec.
This new Atari light pen, Jeff and I can create our own ways to learn. Here, can you draw me one of these?
Sure.
Let's see. We don't have to program or even type. You draw right on the screen. It's a really creative way to spend time with your kids.
Oh, that's great. It's great.
And watch, he can make his dog any color he wants.
A plaid dog. What kind of a dog is that?
A Scotty.
A Scotty.
This is the morning stream. Game over, man. Game over.
Okay, we're back. For the chat, I showed puppy live cams. And they're probably thinking, Scott, what's that about? You usually do weirder stuff. And the reason I'm doing it is because yesterday was kind of a bummer day. That shooting in Jacksonville was awful, and I'm feeling a lot of solidarity with specifically the gaming community, and it's been rattled by this. It's bad. Feel really bad about that and awful about it. And also, I don't know, kind of like John McCain. I'm sad he died. Kind of liked him. Anyway, no more sad stuff, though. We're trying to focus on the positive here on the show.
Happy stuff now.
That's right. Brian, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't tell this. I started a second Twitter account for political rants.
Because okay.
It's called Political Scott. And I did it because I thought, well, there's how I do it. There's how I vent without muddying up my main feed. But I haven't done anything on it yet because I'm nervous too. So
I mean, it's good, though. Then people can, if they don't want politics, they can follow you without worrying about seeing, oh, he's raving about Trump again. Yeah. Or the people are like, I like it when Scott talks about politics. He's got a good mind for this sort of thing. Now they have a Twitter account they can follow.
Yeah, so. I guess if you guys want, go follow Political Scott and we'll see what we do. I don't know. I've got it up on TweetDeck, so it's the thing I can use very easily and do. And I mean, if people are like, oh, wow, you put it on your main feed. That's where everybody is. I know, but I also... I'm trying to find my zen, man. So if I need the outlet, I'll have it. But I'm not just blabbing it to everybody in their face, you know?
That's a good way. It's a very good way to do it.
Thank you. I'm glad that you approve.
100%.
What are we doing now?
We're talking to Stephen Schleicher, who will be calling us from AirPods today because his USB microphone is not working.
Well, that'd be fantastic. That's okay, because it'll be on his phone, I guess, or something. We'll be calling him now shortly via, there it is, Skype, because that's what we're limited to here with him. Oh, yeah? Oh, actually, it was really fast, and that's why we like him. Here it is.
Steven.
Steven Schleicher, all the way from Hayes, Kansas. Steve, what's going on?
Well, where do we start? no air conditioning.
Oh,
nope. So I'm in a different location. I thought the USB mic was going to work with a MacBook Pro. It does not. So I'm on AirPods. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. You actually sound like you're on a room mic or something to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, Political Scott.
Yeah.
Account suspended.
Oh, what? Hold on a second. Really? Maybe I gave the wrong name.
You haven't even tweeted it.
No, maybe I've got the wrong name. Hold on. That doesn't seem right, does it? Okay, hold on. It's actually... Oh, they changed it. That's weird. I did not have an underscore in this before. All right, sorry.
Okay. All right, underscore.
Political underscore Scott. Sorry. That's the new name. If you want to follow it and hear me rant, I think that's what I'm going to do.
You now have 8 followers.
Yeah, I do have 8 followers. It's going to be weird not, you know, pushing it out to 55,000 or whatever it is. But it's okay. I don't mind. I think that's what I want to do. And it's okay if I don't even get a lot of interaction on them. Sometimes this stuff's just about me getting it out, you know, pooping it out, and then I'm done with it. Hey, Steven, it's a pleasure to have you here, of course. Major spoilers. Why no AC? What happened? Is something just down?
So we had a leak in the coil, so all the coolant is leaking out. They came last week and said, you guys might as well just get a new air conditioner. Uh-huh. And we're like, okay, fine. Can you recharge the compressor so that we have some cool air blowing through? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. And I said, well, this last until like for the next 2 weeks. So until we get the AC replaced, he's like, oh yeah, this should be no problem. Saturday, blowing hot air out the vents. So.
Oh no, dude. We just went through this ourselves. I hate this.
Yeah. As did we a while back, yeah.
Right.
The parts are supposed to be in tomorrow, and I've already called them and said, hey, here's the situation, and today is so far going to be one of the hottest days of the month. And they're like, yeah, we'll see if we can get it done on Wednesday, but no promises.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Is that because they're busy with other hooch or something? Or
Well, I think it's just because, you know, Hayes, Kansas, the middle of America, where everything takes 3 days to get here. There's no guarantee that everything's going to come on the truck tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys are definitely in the paint. What do you call that? The Dust Bowl. You're in the Dust Bowl.
Yep.
You don't get as much attention there in the Dust Bowl.
3 days from anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't want FOP.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad you're here. I mean, look at the sacrifices you've made to be here. This is fantastic.
My son is actually a pomade man.
Oh, that's great.
Really? Okay. Is he Dapper Dan?
Dapper Dan.
Oh, no, he just Just the pomade. Just like, I guess that's the brand.
All right. Okay. I don't know how that stuff works. Hey, well, it's good to have you here, and as always, to chat and see what's going on in the world. I know you mentioned something about Buffy leaving Dark Horse Comics. It's been a popular thing for them. Where are they going, and why are they leaving?
Well, so, first of all, 20th Century Fox owns Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Joss Whedon owns Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The current season 12 is coming to an end, I think, in like 3 or 4 more issues, maybe a little bit sooner than that. Mm-hmm. And then that's also the same time that the licensing agreement between 20th Century Fox and Dark Horse Comics expires. Interesting thing.
Mm.
Fox Studios, 20th Century Fox, owns a minor investment in Boom Studios.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Meaning that they are, you know, I don't know how much of a minor stake, but it is apparently a pretty major minor stake, so I wonder if it's not 49%. 20th Century Fox already has, like, Big Trouble in Little China. It's already done. What are some of the other ones that they have done recently? But they've done a couple of deals with 20th Century Fox in the past as far as some of their movie properties to comic books. Planet of the Apes is a big one. So it will not surprise me or anyone that there may be an announcement coming up at the end of the year or the first of next year that says Buffy the Vampire Slayer is now at Boom Studios.
Oh, wow.
We know that Firefly has just moved from Dark Horse to Boom. So that's rather interesting. It's also really interesting when you consider that Disney now owns 20th Century Fox. Disney owns Marvel. What stake does Disney now have in Boom Studios, and how will that relationship work?
Yeah, interesting. I didn't realize that there was that history there, but I'm very excited about the idea of Boom. I don't know why I trust Boom right now. Boom's like doing cool stuff. Am I wrong to feel that way?
No, according to a lot of people, they are the largest minor publisher. A year and a half ago, they became a premier distributor through Diamond. So they're really up there in the world. They produce about 25 comics per month, which is quite a bit, indie publisher. But they've been around about as long as Major Spoilers has been around. I think they're just about ready to celebrate their 15th year in comics. And they've had, you know, some big changes that go on. Mark Waid was their, I believe, their editor-in-chief at one point. He's also done some big work there. And their books continually impress me with everything that they put out. I haven't checked out what Boom Studios is publishing. It's definitely worth a look, and some of it's really good. They just came out with, this is kind of maybe a minor recommendation here, the original script for Planet of the Apes, the first pass of it, was done by Rod Serling. Then they went a different direction on the movie.
And they just released
taken Rod Serling's original script and made a comic book out of this, and it is fantastic because it, instead of taking it to the point where, you know, you're in kind of a primitive era between the man and the ape cultures, it basically lifts the modern day culture of the 1950s and 60s that Serling was in, and just puts the apes in charge of the in the humans' place, and the humans into the subservient position. And it's really, really good. It still has the same twist ending and all those kinds of things. Spoiler alert for some people.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, somebody had to take his treatment and really flesh it out, right? And iron it out. I'd be really curious.
But
if you
get a chance to read this, it's great. It's a hardback release. Very, very good.
All right, I'm into that. That sounds great. I didn't know Rod Serling had anything to do with that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then I think it's this. Jim Jeffries, I forget the comedian who is in charge, of basically putting this together.
Oh, Jim Jeffries, the Australian comedian, that guy?
I don't know if it's him. No, I think it's somebody else.
I like that
I'll
guy.
Look it up here as we're talking.
He makes me laugh. He has very funny, stand-up on Netflix, but they are absolutely not for your kids. Do not let your kids watch that.
Yeah. It's Planet of the Apes Visionaries is where it comes from. And man, I cannot find the person who's in charge. Oh, I'm sorry. Dana Gould is the person Dana who's Gould. In charge of putting this all together.
Oh, Dana Gould. Yeah. He does the Wayne Don't Tell Me stuff. He's been around forever. Yeah. In fact, little known fact, hey gamers, I got a little fun trivia for you. He was the voice of Gex the Gecko in the video game called Gex, which originally appeared on the 3DO system and eventually came to PlayStation 1. Gex, Dana Gould, boom. Anyway. Wow.
Dropping a little game knowledge on you.
Yeah, it's a big old load of knowledge. Y'all ready for this? Boom, boom, boom. All right. Hey, this is fantastic. Anything else going on in the world that
actually,
we should talk about?
I have a quick question wanted to ask you about. Because this is something I just found out about today. So Taika Waititi announced that he's taking a meeting with Marvel about a new project that's not a Thor movie that is super secret. Is there any doubt that this is him taking over Guardians of the Galaxy 3 from James Gunn?
Well, that's really interesting because Disney actually suspended production of Guardians of the Galaxy 3 last week. They had about 30 people who were doing a bunch of pre-production work on the film, and they basically just dismissed them and said, we're shutting down or suspending production right now. Mm. So to have him come in and be in talks is definitely something that could be a possibility. It could be something else completely, but I think you're probably on target, Brian, that this has to do with Guardians of the Galaxy. It's too big of a franchise for Disney to just shut the door on. But then again, it's Disney. They can pretty much do what they want at this point.
Mm.
For sure. Yeah, I think it makes the most sense, too. I mean, he would he'd be able to capture that humor level and that feel. And, you know, Thor and the Guardians have kind of already done the whole thing together for Infinity War. So
it'll be interesting, too, because, you know, so much of the cast was behind James Gunn on that, especially with Bautista saying that he really didn't want to do the film if they weren't at least using his script. So it'll be interesting to see how director and cast can work together given the situations and statements made.
Yeah, he's having a big fight too with Bautista, that is, with some like that Cernovich guy and some sort of alt-right types on the internet. There's lawsuits and stuff. It all got
political underscore Scott.
Yeah, political underscore Scott. I'll discuss it all in full detail, as many characters as I can fit into 280.
280 of them.
What was I going to say about this? Oh, I think Brian's onto something. I think this is the sensible move if you're trying to remain or you're trying to retain tone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he is perfectly suited to the humor and the wackiness of that particular side of Marvel. I mean, if you could argue that he applied that template with his own spins, obviously, but he applied that template to Thor 3 pretty deftly. So. He's a good pick for this. If you're going to do, if this is how it's going to go and they're not going to hire him back, and it sounds like they're not, there's worse ways to do this. Yeah. And there, and there, some of them, I'm trying to think who would be familiar with, oh no, he didn't do anything with Infinity War. So he wouldn't have directed any of these guys outside of, I'm trying to think if any of those Guardians guys were in the Thor movie, but they weren't, were they?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay. But I'm sure they, you know, he's as likable as the next dude.
I mean, the, you know, Thor Ragnarok was the most cosmic Thor movie that they've released, so it's a perfect fit for Guardians.
Yeah. Has anyone checked Taika Waititi's, or how do you say his name? Has anyone checked his his Twitter account from 10 years ago? I mean, just make sure. Does someone go look real quick and, you know, make sure everything's all right? Anyway, well, that sounds great. Anything on the site that we should be watching for this week?
A lot of good stuff. We've got a lot of original content. I don't know, Brian, if you are familiar with the band Ookla the Mock. They do a lot of geek-related songs. Really great group. One half of the founding members, Rand, I believe you pronounce his name, Bolivia, he writes for Major Spoilers. He's got a new article up this week where he takes a look back at 40 years of comic book history and comics that he was reading in five-year increments. It's called Random Access Memory, 40 years. So every 5 years from like 1978 to 2018, he looks at comics that came out in August and which ones he read and kind of takes you down a little trip down memory lane. So go check that out, MajorSpoilers.com.
That's very cool. It's funny because they had a song called Stop Talking About Comics or I'll Kill You.
Yes.
So
yes.
Funny that he's now talking about comics.
Yes. That's the actual closing song of the Major Spoilers podcast. People have been listening to that for years. And I reached out to them and said, hey, would it be okay if we use this song at the end of our show? Rand wrote back and says, not only yes, but we're already big fans of Major Spoilers.
Oh,
and then
that's awesome.
How we started talking together.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
I think you love when you find that stuff out. I love when that happens.
I know. It makes me feel all funny inside.
Yeah, me too. I
not enough
feeling
to shake yogurt on my face.
No. Take it from me, Steven. You don't want to do that.
I'm not going to take it from you. No.
No, don't take it from me.
No.
Majorspoilers.com, of course. Major Spoilers on Twitter. And if you are in the Hayes, Kansas area and you're good with air conditioners, please help the guy out. Come on. He shouldn't have to suffer.
Should be taking care of next week, of which we will not be able to be here. So.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, well, that's right. I won't be here Monday anyway, so it's all good. Right. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next
time. Stay hydrated.
Yes, stay hydrated. Good advice.
Very cool. Yes, very good advice.
Oh, I should have stayed in Skype because that's how we get Daryl now.
Hold Hell yeah.
On. I exited it. I got out of it.
Reopen it. I'm going to grab my cookies.
Okay. Grab your grab your cookies. All right, we're calling.
I can say whatever I want, and it won't be nearly as bad as that photo you put on Twitter for me.
Not nearly.
Not nearly.
Not nearly. I'll make a whole new Twitter account for things like that. Hi, Daryl. How's your new office? What's going on?
It's good.
Yeah. Are you feeling surrounded by people, or what's the deal?
Yes, I am in a corral of cows, and I'm right in the middle.
Whoa! Don't let that get out. Here's your theme for today.
You run off half speculated.
There you go. why the change? Just moving around, and they need to move it's, people.
Well. I don't know. It's management. It's it's the shuffling of cards.
Gotcha. Well, you're the Joker today. Hey, let's look at these here deals that we got. We're not doing any Star Trek stuff. There's no news. There's nothing. Okay.
Yeah, I checked just now. There's still nothing.
I will say this though. I make my own gifts. I'm a big free range gift guy. I like to make my own, not get store bought gifts. I like to make my own or GIFs if you prefer. Whoever weirdos are out there saying GIF. I make my own GIFs. I like to do that. I do it with Film Sack sometimes. I do it with this show every day. Almost everything I post is usually a GIF I've made. Not always, but most of the time. I went and found a treasure trove of possibilities in Star Trek, the animated series. Because when we were watching it with Ibbot and Dunaway and Randy, a bunch of stuff happened in that episode. I'm like, that's a good GIF. That's a good GIF. That's a great GIF. So I have this huge new collection that is just about to explode onto the internet of GIF-related Star Trek. Not that I'm the first person to do that, of course, but I'm a big believer in, you know, be your own guy. Have your own GIF manufacturing at the homestead level. Don't go. We're not going to outsource my GIFs to China or India, okay? I'm going to make them right here in America. All right. Anyway, hey, should we try these pina colada deals?
Okay, the thins?
Yeah, the thins. These are all from Mary Heidenberg. Big thanks to her as always. Oh, I love the thins. I forgot how much I like the thin ones.
You don't feel so bad when you eat an entire box of those.
Yeah, you don't feel nearly as bad.
So that's the thin one we want.
Yeah, look at this.
Okay.
So these are like...
If you like pina coladas, make it Oreo style.
These are, they say on it. Pina colada, Oreo thins, pineapple, and coconut flavored. Oh, who's this guy? I want to hear him. Hold on. It's IT, isn't it?
I don't know what's happening.
It's IT. He's like, we got to get the gigawatts into the internet hole, and I can hear him. This is good. All right, so... I do feel like I'm sitting in a meeting. This is real bad. Normally, we can all we hear is, but this guy, we can hear words he says.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. This is all like supposed to be secret over where you work.
Exactly.
So hurry up and eat one of these.
Signed your NDM.
Yeah, your NDM.
Yours looks green, like a green circle.
Oh, it's probably my lighting.
Weird, it's the lighting, yeah.
Yeah,
crazy.
Over here.
Does mine look?
They look like little Catholic wafers. Here, my son.
Me too. Hans Hominodonomanoni. Yep.
No offense, Catholics. Catholics are taking it on the chin right now. I shouldn't add to their disdain.
All right.
Maybe an issue I'll talk about on political_Scott.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll talk about that.
That all my religion knowledge comes from the beginning of songs by Enigma.
All my religious knowledge comes from MASH.
That song, my mom banned that song from our house. You want to know why?
Really? Because of the Gregorian chant stuff at the beginning?
No, it was the stuff in the middle. There was a girl breathing hard. And she thought it was too suggestive.
That's right.
Remember that whole thing? She was going...
Yeah, and then they stop all the background music at one breath in, and then it starts back in...
Yeah. I used to love those guys.
I'm guessing Donna Summer was never played in your house. Love to Love You, Baby.
If my mom could figure it out, she would try to kibosh it. There was a chunk of time where I wasn't allowed to watch Cheers because she thought Cheers was too tawdry. And I think she watches Cheers now, like binges it on Netflix. Like, I don't know, Mom. Whatever. My teenage years were weird. Daryl, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, yeah. Good. Just making sure it got all quiet in there. Just making sure it was not because you had disappeared or some government agent had swooped in and shut you down. Well, that's these are good. These are nice. I like these. They taste like pina coladas, and that's what you expect. What is a pina?
A pina?
Yeah.
Pineapple, coconut.
Okay.
Colada. Yeah.
Oh, is that what that means? Pineapple.
I don't think the colada. I think the pina is referencing the pineapple. But I don't think the colada references to the coconut.
Oh, maybe.
The pina, the pinta, the Santa Maria. Yeah, it's a fiber. Pina is fiber made from the leaves of a pineapple plant.
Oh, so we're getting good fiber is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
But all yeah, right. It is referencing the pineapple.
Daryl, have fun in the server closet. I hope it goes well for you today. Have a good one. We'll see you later. Ooh. All right. Jeez Louises. That's going to be interesting moving forward if that's what his office is like. That's freaky.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, hearing that guy talk in the background every week. Maybe that guy can chime in on some Trek news.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Well, I'd listen to that guy. Okay, we're going to very quickly play a mashup if you're so inclined.
Ooh, yes.
I haven't even looked to see what's in here. Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of stuff. All right, we'll play this one, which looks like a recent edition of a normal one. This is episodes 1546 through 1548. I won't give away the title because I think it probably is self-explanatory in the clip. So here it is.
Oh, great.
Enjoy. Coming up on TM... try that again.
And he opens the bathroom door. Wiener out.
I want to thank you for coming to my movie.
Well, what's it called? George R. R. Martin's Megaplex?
No, John Cocteau Cinema is
okay.
What it's called.
John Cocktoast? Yeah. Did I hear that right?
Sounds like something Fletch would come up with as a pseudonym. Hi, what's your name? John Cocktoast.
That's a pretty good quote. You put that up there. I like when ladies act like ladies.
You want mint for pillow? You want mint? You like us to do turn down service? You want us to tuck in bed?
I would put in my cornhole is what I would do. Well, wait, that's the other guy.
Your pie hole.
My pie hole. Sorry, cornhole.
Yes, put it in your pie hole.
Yeah. Don't put it in your cornhole.
Yeah, or up the wazoo for that matter.
You should drive by. Know. Go.
I don't want to be.
Go. What happened to Caitlin Stark?
Hey, got a minute? Can I ask you some questions?
Yeah.
You're stupid. You think we all wear the wooden shoes?
Right. And you'd pop the thing and go, and it would pour out.
Yeah, you know what I do for a living? I pick up the penguins that fall over while they're looking at planes flying over.
Well, that's
Australian, but I work at a zoo in the UK.
Aggressive coitus. I'm in. It's like a solid shaft of plastic or porcelain. I don't know, but a shaft, like a little hood at the bottom.
Correct. A little bulbous hood at the bottom.
Okay. I'm not describing a penis, chat
just,
room.
I was just gonna say we just got the explicit tag. Thank you, iTunes.
Gosh, dang it.
That's the best.
There must be a reason people like this show, because it's pretty funny. If you hear it, I don't remember us ever talking about any of the stuff we talk about.
It's pretty, really?
It's pretty funny stuff. But I don't remember it. Every day we do something new. I don't remember anything.
Jamie, that is one of the best ones ever.
Pretty good, dude. All right, final note here for something I wanted to mention that I even mentioned this last week, but I did not do the PS part, which was the important part. David sent us a bunch of codes to use for games, which I'll get in the spreadsheet at some point.
Okay.
But his PS was this. Not that I'm asking you to do anything. Oh, I'm doing it anyway. But if you happen to decide to read this on the air, if you could give a shout out to my fantastic wife, Betty, who also listens to TMS Daily, would be amazing. We're coming up on our 8-year anniversary next month on September 25th, which I'm completely unprepared for. And I think she would get a kick out of hearing some well wishes from you. Thanks. Well, here we are doing it. Betty, great to have you listening. Happy anniversary. and I hope that David didn't jack it up. I hope it worked out.
Wow, no kidding.
I got Kim a sous vide and a bag sealer for that.
Nice. That's great. You're going to enjoy some delicious, juicy steaks and perfectly cooked chicken and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, we borrowed Sarah's to try it because you had talked about it and others had told me how great it is and everything. And I didn't really know, but we borrowed hers to do something, some chicken thing. And it was amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to go back now. So we're getting that. I will benefit greatly from her gift that I'm giving her.
Yes, right. Exactly. Well done, sir.
Yep. That's how I roll. Dual use gifts is the way I look at it. If you'd like to send in your own feedback to the show, themorningstream@gmail.com, or you can just click the link on the site that says contact us. And it will come straight to us. That's how David got a hold of me. At TMS Mashups is our mashup guy. You should follow him and give him suggestions on funny things you think we did, and he can go track down. He has this amazing ability to kind of, as far as I know, he doesn't have like a searchable database, but he knows where stuff is. I've said on the show before, I'm like, gosh, when was that story about the whatever? And then he'll dig back in 2013 and find it.
Right.
It's insane. Right. It's insane.
It's gonna be like transcription services or something.
We should
automatic.
Can you imagine if our mumbo jumbo for an hour and a half every day was transcripted? Oh my gosh, dude, that sounds like a big job.
For a transcription of this episode of TMS, play it slowly and write down everything we say.
That's actually not a bad way to put a little promo on the end of the show. I like that. Might have to do something like that. Anyway, we love hearing from you, so please keep those coming. themorningstream@gmail.com. The website is frogpants.com/TMS, and you can support us at patreon.com/TMS. Only a couple days left in the month if you want to join us for a monthly ripoff of us, because it's really a ripoff. We do so much stuff for so little. It's insane. We're like the dumbest Patreon people ever.
And we need to do, did we do an August show? We need to do our bonus show.
We need to do a boner show, and that'll be soon. Brian's ready for his boner show.
I'm ready for my boner show.
Mr. DeMille. So that'll happen sometime. Yeah, we should do that. When are we doing that? I don't know when we're doing that. Maybe this week sometime. Yeah. We'll figure something out.
It has to be this week. Yep.
Yeah, I guess it would have to be because then this is the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Anyways, and those asking about the stuff going on in Columbus, I don't know yet. I'm still waiting for the final itinerary. So as soon as I know, I'll let you guys know. But I know a few of you have been saying, hey, any updates on that? And I have not been told. I'm coming at the behest and guest of some others folks. So I don't, I'm sort of not in charge of that. But I will let you know as soon as I know. All right. That's it, Brian. The vote at frogpants.showbot.tv for today's title. Don't forget to go there. Brian, song, please, everybody wants one. How the lyrics
song,
go?
Song, blue, everybody has one.
There you go.
Sharon wrote in, said, good morning, Sargeras and Balnazar. I'm writing today because it is my wedding anniversary on August 27th. That's today. I don't have a preference if the song's played on a day since I can't always listen live. My husband and I are celebrating being married for 7 years today. We met in college in 2004, but we didn't start dating until the fall of 2005. We start off as friends. In our sophomore year, we decided to make things official. We've been through many ups and downs, but we still managed to come out strong. I hope we continue to do so, as I love him very much. We have a wonderful 3 years old son now, and he's also the best thing that happened to us as well. I'm hoping you can find a cover or play our song that we danced to during our wedding. Being gamers, we chose to dance to Fallout 4's main theme song, I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire. We listened to lyrics and loved it, originally done by the Ink Spots. I leave it in your talented hands as regards to a cover. Thank you so much for what you both do. I enjoy listening every day. My husband makes fun of me for listening to all my podcasts. P.S. He loves to sit with me and listen to your Pokemon podcast, Brian, because we also play Pokemon Go. Thanks, Sharon, a.k.a. Valercia or Valercia_gaming in the Twitch chat. Well, happy anniversary to happy 7 years. And that is a great song choice, by the way. I'm hearing a little bit of echo on me.
Oh.
You're not hearing that?
No. No, weird.
Okay. All right. I'll ignore it. All right. This is I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire. Yeah, originally done by the Ink Spots. And a lot of great versions of that. I've played two of them already on the show, so I'm playing a third one that I have not played yet. And this is by a favorite band of mine, a couple of guys who are as English as fish and chips, as English as pubs and pints, These guys are traditional pub rockers, Chaz and Dave. And the only other claim to fame is that they played the little guitar lick that is in the Labyciferous song called I Got The, which Eminem sampled for his very first hit, Slim Shady, or Hi, My Name Is Slim Shady. Anyway, that was done by Chaz and Dave.
Oh, that's cool. That's a cool thing to be claiming. No, that's awesome.
It is. Yeah. Yes. I don't know how much money they made from that, but hopefully it's enough to keep them making music for now and forever. Yeah. Now, in 2015, they released an album called Chaz and Dave's Street Party. Normally, they do your typical 2 minute 59 kind of rocker, pub rocker. For this one, it is one continuous string of music, covers of all these classics. And the subtitle to the album is Songs That Helped the UK Win the War, or something like that, which is great. But it's stuff like, I got to pull up the list because I'm not remembering the names of some of the songs. You'll Never Know, South of the Border, It's a Lovely Day Tomorrow, Let It Snow, White Christmas, etc. But it's all done as one continuous thing of music. So this one ends a little abruptly, but it's a great cover of I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire. Here is Chaz and Dave.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart, I have but one desire. That one is you, no other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start flame in your heart.
One more.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you. Other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
Oh, that ends very suddenly. more than I thought.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Perfectly queefed hair and
queefed.
I forgot about queefed.